was too far gone that he wasn't able to help it. So he's like, I'm just going to eat it. So he did. And I'm telling you what, they would not eat that snake, not for obvious reasons why Mrs. Pease wouldn't eat the snake. They won't eat the snake because they believe that you are ingesting that evil spirit. So they won't eat it. I mean, you know, it's one thing to, you know, laugh at that because it's ridiculous to us. But when a human being actually believes that and then acts on that by their behavior, then you know they need liberated. It's as bad as being on drugs here in the United States. It limits them. It holds them down. And so this, we've got kids. I got videos of girls that were raised in our orphanage. And they're playing with, of course, the non-poisonous snakes. They're playing with the snakes. Would never happen. Would never happen. Why are they able to do that? We just made a video with a young lady. And she starts the video off. My name's Paxina. I was raised in the orphanage. That's my home. And she said, when I grew up, I was taught that chameleons are poisonous. And if they bite you, you'll die. She said, I was taught that if you kill one, you'll find a stone, you'll bring the stone to the witch doctor. The witch doctor will bless that stone. If you give that stone to a rich man, he'll give you all of his money. And she said, I learned through the ministry and the Bible that that's a lie. And she went on and told what the Bible says about creation. And brother, that's a home run. I mean, we're changing. We're changing the mindset. We're stopping, you know, we heard about breaking the chains of alcoholism, breaking the chains of drug addiction, breaking the chains of immorality in our homes here. You do have those issues, but there are another chain you have to break. See, Paxina won't tell her children the same stories she was told. It stops with her. So that's why we did that Creation Museum. And I could tell you stories. Thank you for walking that journey with us, and thank you for helping with that church. In Genesis chapter 15, I just thought about how to wrap this up. You know, it's having done both worlds, being a pastor and a missionary, and then also being able to see multiple different countries. I mean, you're always torn. You know, missionary presentations have always been hard for me to sit through because I don't think I've seen any of them that I didn't tell the Lord in the background, I'll go. Right? Man, I love hearing those stories that these young guys talked about God meeting their faith needs. I'll tell you something that I've seen, Pastor, that's a little alarming. A lot of the new missionaries that we have that are going to the field, they're second and third generation missionaries. That's the majority of them. But you know what that's an alarm for? Because what about the ones that sit in the pew that aren't already from a missionary family? That's dropping off. Yes, we still have them, but more and more are coming from missionaries that we already have, right? We don't want to lose the day where God calls people out of a pew. Right? We don't want to lose that. Right? So you're a free agent today. God can use you. You just never know, right, what God can do, because he still calls people that aren't in the ministry, people that work regular jobs, husbands, wives that maybe thought their life was going to go this way. And then the Holy Spirit visits their pew in their heart and says, would you go? We don't want to lose that. And I'm very thankful for third and fourth generation, right? And I'm glad that that's produced. But what about the days when somewhere along the line, you go back far enough, somebody in your family got called out of a pew, right? We don't want to lose that. We still need that. We still need to dream, and we've heard some things that God can do. We've talked about our love for God, and we talked about, you know, believing in knowing what God can do in our lives, and then taking that out and spreading that out, or selling it, if you want to say, to other people. We talked about those things, and tonight I just want to wrap it up with this thought about if you're going to do something. if there's a dream, if there is a desire, if you've ever thought in the back of your mind, I would like to do this at some time. Maybe it's reading your Bible. Maybe you've never done that. Maybe you've sat here and you've never actually accomplished reading your Bible all the way through. It might be the fact that you've never actually stood in front of another person and had the chance to give the gospel. Maybe it's something like that. Maybe you thought about, you know, hearing a need about a Sunday school or maybe some other area in church, and you've toyed with the idea of that perhaps maybe at some day you would like to do something more. I've got a young man that's coming to me right now, the one that just got off drugs a couple years ago, and he said, Pastor, I need something to do. He said, I just feel like God has saved me from so much that it doesn't just end in a pew. And maybe that's you. You know, maybe you just heard messages about what God has done for you, and you sit there and you say you have a desire. You might not even know how to go further in that desire, but you say, I just feel like in the time that I have, that I need to make myself available to do more. Well, I want you to, we're going to pray and then we'll get into this. Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that you would help us. Father, thank you for being with us throughout this week and the great people that I've got a chance to meet. Thank you for Pastor, who's been a good friend to me. Thank you for his love for missions in this church. I got a good heritage. But Lord, I know that it doesn't just end here for this church. Lord, I know that you want to, can do, and will do great things. But Lord, I pray that you would work in the folks' heart tonight. And that you would take those desires, those dreams, those things that we want to do, and that you would help us to be able to put action to that. To take it through from that part of us that thinks about it to the part of us doing it. And Lord, I pray that you would move us with an urgency to get things done while we have a chance. We love you. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. In Genesis chapter 15, and I want you to look in verse 13. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 13. And he said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them. So he's telling this to Abram, or Abraham now. He said unto him, Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Man, that would be a bummer if you happened to cross this scripture while you were in Egypt after Joseph. You're thinking, man, we got a long way to go here. You know, there's 400 years. You know that it's going to be at least 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve, I will judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. You know, he actually told Abraham, before any of those kids would grow up and be the children of Israel, he told them that this is what was going to happen, right? And then he even foretold what was going to take place with Egypt. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass, I mean, in other words, it wasn't time to destroy him, but he's going to. And it came because there's a time schedule that God's on, and that's going to continue with or without you. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between these pieces. And in that same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt, under the great river, the river Euphrates. The Kenites, the Canaanites, the Kenamites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, and the Rephaim. I don't know if I butchered that or not. And it mentions the rest of them. And I sat there and I thought about that. This is one of the first times that God went through detail about what he wanted to give to Israel. He's talking about the land of Canaan. He's starting it back here, and he says, when the time is right, when that has fulfilled, the time's not yet, but it's going to come, and when it is fulfilled, I'm going to give you this land. And no doubt, Abraham told his kids, and then their kids told their kids, and that story had been passed on for a long time and was talked about maybe even for the 400 years that they're in bondage. And then if you'll fast forward, I want you to go from there to Exodus chapter 3 and verse 8. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 8. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 8. The Bible says this, I am come down, Exodus chapter 3 and verse 8, I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the same names we mentioned before. Verse 9, now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. And then he goes down to verse 17. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land. And he mentions all of these things again. And he says at the bottom of it, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they begin talking about that and talking about that and talking about that. Then they're delivered out of Egypt. And you know what God says? Now's the time to go to the land of milk and honey. They have talked about this and talked about this and talked about this. And now it's the opportunity. Now is the time. He's ready to go do that. He's ready to take them. He has planted that seed. He has molded that ground and prepared that ground. He has given them a promise. They have dreamed about it. They have thought about it. They've heard stories about it. Now it's time. God's ready. They're not. That's the bad thing. God's ready. He says, let's now, this is what I've always wanted to give you, and I'm ready to give it to you now. But then when that time came and he said, I promise, he has backed this up and he has backed this up. He's using the same people. He says, I'm going to destroy them. When he told Abraham, he said, I'm going to take care of these people. He mentions it again. I mean, he's obviously got a plan on how he's going to do it. He's ready to move. They're not. I mean, and they no doubt have thought about, I mean, they come back and they say, man, guys, the grapes. Look at these grapes. The land is a beautiful land. I mean, this is exactly what God said it was going to be. And then those people missed that window. See, guys, God's not going to stand still for me and you. His time moves on. He's not going to miss the window. You're going to miss the window. He controls that. He is the God of time. Those opportunities, the ability to do that, the window in which you can, or the door being opened, doesn't always stay opened. The opportunity can pass you by. Will pass you by. You know, it's the right time at the right place, like this brother, at the right time in the right place. He needed to be in Africa the same time that this young lady's taken this trip. I mean, there are all kinds of things. If he would have gone one way or the other, that window would have been missed. Because it's not stopping. So if there's something that you want to do, if there is a desire in your heart, it doesn't have to be going to a mission field. It can just be, hey, I'm going to join my pastor, and I'm going to put my shoulder to the same plow he's pushing, and I'm going to push with him. I mean, how many of you thought about, man, I'd like to be sold out. I'm not going to ask you today. I mean, say, boy, I'd like to do more for Christ. I'd like to get more involved in my local church. Maybe I'd like to take a mission trip. You know, boy, I'd like to do this. I mean, I hope as Christians that you have some godly desires. You might have even thought about this mission thing and saying, you know, I thought about getting involved. Maybe I haven't been involved in the mission program. Those windows and doors, that opportunity can pass you by. Do you know dreaming about something for God isn't good enough? That doesn't equal an action. You can't get to heaven and say, but God, if you only knew what I wanted to do for you. Man, if you only knew the things that I did for you in my mind, the number of people I told about the gospel, if you only knew what I had mapped out for you and what that looked like, I just never got it done. That good intention isn't going to get you past here. It doesn't count up there. And if you're going to do something, then the time is now. Now, I catch myself, I have some things that I personally have down on my list of before God takes me out of this world or my time ends here. These are some things that I want to do. I'm 55. Brother, I can't look at that list too much longer. I'm 55. You know, people talk about a bucket list. You ought to have one for Jesus. All right, why don't you try this? If you've never led somebody to the Lord, put that down. Put that down on that list. And say, I have never personally led somebody to Jesus Christ. I'd like to do that before I go home. And then quit dreaming. Amen. And go after it. Because do you know how long they talked about this and talked about this and talked about this? And there is a certain group of people that died in the wilderness and never saw it because all they did was dream and never acted on it. And that's sad to see. Do you know that the Lord had a sense of urgency? If you'd go to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. And verse 4. John chapter 9. John chapter 9. And we'll start in verse 1. And Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sin, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. He's saying, actually, he was born blind. So at this moment, in this window in time, with you standing right here, God allowed this man to be blind so that on this day, right here, at this window of opportunity, I can heal him and you'll know who God is. And then he goes on and says this, I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. He knew that that was not going to continue. He knew that his time, when his ministry started to where it ended on Calvary, was short. He knew that he could not get entangled into the things of this world. He knew that, no, he wasn't going to be able to have a house and he wasn't going to be able to be invested in those other things. Why? Because that window wasn't going to stay open very long. It was a short window. And everything he did, he said, I must be about what? my father's business. Why? Because he knew there was a sense of urgency. He knew there was a need to keep his mind focused on what God had him to do. He didn't have time to get distracted. He wasn't going to have forever. But man, I tell you what he got accomplished in those few short years when his ministry started, man, he did not waste any time. He knew that there were certain things at certain times that had to happen. He knew that he had to be at that well at a certain time and a certain date. He needed to be headed in that direction. He couldn't let a distraction stop him from getting there because he knew he had an appointment that he needed to keep, and he did that through his whole entire ministry. He knew, and he wanted us to know, that night comes when no man can work. There'll be a day when any desire that you have for God, it is too late. I promise you, when you stand in heaven and you see the nail prints in his hand and you see the nail prints in his feet, you are going to be overcome with sadness of wishing that you could do more. But you can't go back. That door is closed on you. And what does it matter? Because that is the only thing that you have to give to Christ to show him that what he did for you meant something. You know, I'll just tell you these two. We won't turn to it. So, you know, the widow that gave that mite. On that day, there's a bunch of rich men. Can you imagine walking into that service? She wasn't dressed like the rest of them. I don't know if there were other ladies there or not, but I do know it says that there were rich men that were giving that day. And Jesus is sitting up there, you know. Well, that make you a little nervous, him standing right there. He didn't need to look. He already knows what you're going to give, right? And he's watching this, and these rich men come in, and they're parading themselves, and they're putting this money in to be noticed. And can you imagine this widow lady saying, man, I don't want to go up there with all those guys. I'm not even dressed right. And what I have isn't near what they're giving. Do you not think that her being a human being, she ever maybe took a few steps and walked back again and then had to confront that and say, no, I really want to do this? Realizing that there was only one moment in time for her to connect with Jesus standing right there. It was on that day and at that time with him in that room that her window of opportunity to make it into God's word for all of eternity was right in front of her. And it wasn't going to last. It was going to go away. She had a desire to give God all she had, even though it would not amount to much to anybody in this room. But to Jesus, it meant everything. So that means you can't dream too little or too big. But if you're going to do it, now's the time to do it. What about the lady with the alabaster box? She's only got, you know, when she brought that in, Jesus said, she does this for my what? Burial. The window's closing. I mean, can you imagine how odd that would be for the disciples? They're like, what burial? Right? You know, I mean, this is so funny. I have a lady in my church, her name's Martha. Told me 2 weeks ago, she says, yeah, we're going to go back. I won't be in church for a couple weeks. And she is a servant and a half, so we miss her. She said, I got to go back for my father's funeral. It's on Friday. I said, but isn't he still alive? Yes. But the funeral's on Friday. I'm like, Martha, how can you have a funeral when he's not dead? Well, he's not supposed to make it. I'm like, well, you probably ought to let him die first, right? Called her last week. Guess what? He's still alive. I said, what about the funeral on Friday? You know, I said, you can't be planning funerals. You know, and, I mean, I get it that, okay, it's coming soon. But she actually picked a date. She says, no, the funeral will be over on Friday. I'm like, what do you mean over on Friday? He's still alive. And he's still alive today. You know, I thought, okay, don't plan my funeral. So, I mean, you know, on that there was just a small opportunity. Jesus was at that point. What was coming next? Now, you don't think that lady with this alabaster box first started out in her home and said, "Does this matter? It's all I got." And that man means something to me. See, we forget these people were human beings. She's walking into a strange place where she knows there are going to be critics. You wonder how many times she picked up that box before she left the house and set it back down. Picked it up, set it back down. And then finally decided and said, "God just put this on my heart. I got to give it to him." She had no clue what that meant. But boy, to Jesus, it meant something. Those windows and doors, they open and close. And if we're not careful, all we'll do is dream. And we won't act on any of them. I mean, there's some things I look and I'm afraid to make that commitment. Afraid to, you think about it, you wonder, is God in this? You know, does God want me to do that? And you talk about it. Sometimes you talk yourself into it, and sometimes you talk yourself out of it. But there comes that moment, if you're going to do it, now's the time to do it. You might not get tomorrow. And Jesus is coming back. So there should be some urgency inside of us. That if I'm going to show him I love him, and it doesn't have to be what we would call, what a person would say, big. If it comes from your heart, it's big to God. Even if it's just, hey, I'm going to get up there and sing in a choir. Or I'm just going to make myself available to the pastor. That's huge. Just start there. I would hope everybody in this room has something that you want to do. Maybe you own a business. And you say, boy, I'd really want God to do something. I don't want to just work for myself. I want to work at something that matters. I can't tell you the number of stories that God used Christian businessmen to go way beyond. But it all started with a desire to say, I want to quit talking about it, and I'm going to do it. You know, there was a guy that I talked to. He was a young man. He had 6 Bitcoin 3 years ago. At that time, it was $60,000 a piece. I told him, cash those things in. You know, he kept telling me, he says, man, I want to take a mission trip. I'm like, take a mission trip. He'd talk about it. I finally said, I don't know what to do with you. I said, because the obstacle for most people why they don't take a mission trip, you don't have that obstacle. You're like 24 and you own 6 Bitcoin. I said, cash them, spend them from Jesus, stay on the mission field till it runs out. You'll still be young enough, make some more later. Right? I mean, that's crazy. You know, finally I told him, I said, I'm done. No more talking. I said, you either make a decision to go or find somebody else to tell a dream to. You know what he did? Man, God got a hold of him. I said, just quit talking about it. And I just think, there are some things I want to do for the Lord. I do love him. I believe that he can help people. These things that God's put in your mind, these desires, they're probably not from the devil. If they're godly. How long is it going to take you to do it? But I wonder if tonight, and maybe you can start with that faith promise card. Do you know, it's not mystical science or math that makes that happen. And it's not even the number that matters. But if you take that card and you say, year after year after year after year, I hear stories about these missionaries. And I can't go. But God, if you'll help me with this little piece of paper and your power in my life, I want to make a difference. Because somebody had to pay for that Kia. Somebody, some church, has to help with a plot in a building. We cannot do it without you. You know what? We could dream together. Amen. We can dream together and do something for the Lord that matters. Even if it's something simple as a cup of water in His name, that matters. I'm going to pray and turn over to Pastor. Father, thank you for your word, and Lord, just I think we can all identify with having a thought, an idea, a burden, being compelled and moved by the Holy Spirit through messages and the Word of God, and having a desire or an intention to do more. But then, Father, so many times it just ends there. And all we do is talk about it. Like the children of Israel who never got to see Canaan. A whole generation missed it. They had to stay on the other side of Jordan, and all they could do was dream. Well, Lord, yet in the Bible there's so many. Peter had one chance. Jesus coming by that shore, he's sitting there washing his nets, and Jesus said, "Follow me." And he had to drop that net. That door wasn't going to stay open forever. Jesus is going to move on. And Lord, this is a good church, and these are good people. Lord, you've used them to do wonderful things already. But wouldn't it be great if this group of people could do a little dreaming together? I do believe time's short. And we're on your timeline, not ours. Lord, I pray that we would quit just thinking about it and do something about it. We love you. We ask this in your precious name. Amen, Pastor.